In what other sport are athletes whipped for motivation?
And their study shows us that lead poisoning is the number one cause of death in adult loons in New England.
You know, we can stand up, we can testify about injustice to animals, you name it. We can speak up about it and do something about it. And it's just a matter of being able to live with yourself.
Welcome to Animal Sounds, where we explore the human relationship with animals, the environment, and each other. My name is Maureen Topa, and I am the host of Animal Sounds and have been since April of 2015. Today, Val and James are both engineering the show. Thank you, both of you. So today is, I'm excited about the show because there's a lot to learn about. We are going to be learning about pigs, including our treatment and consumption of them. And we are actually going to be airing a story, if you want to call it that, with permission, of course, called 36 Hours Without Water. The story was created by Emily Barwick, who is author of BiteSizeVegan.com. So we are actually going to listen to this story now. It also has, it's actually a video, so there's, you can watch the video for the full effect, but we'll be listening to it. So it's kind of a different effect listening, but you can go back afterwards and watch the, it's actually all hand-drawn by her on the video. It's illustrated. So you can, I put it on the Animal Sounds Facebook page. So you can go back and watch it for the full effect after the show today. And like I said, this story is about pigs from the time they are born until they go to slaughter. So let's play that story. And afterwards, we actually have an interview with the story's creator. So stay tuned.
Today I am born. In 3 days, parts of me will be cut off. In 6 months, I'll be dead. On my way to meet my killers, I'll travel with my family for 36 hours without water. Some of us will die in the heat before we arrive. Die too early to be killed. Have you ever been thirsty? I'm hungry. I'm trying to get to my mother for milk. We all are. My brothers and sisters all trying to eat. There isn't much room. The bars get in the way. Mama can't move, but she sings to us while we eat. That's my favorite, when she sings. At night, my brothers and sisters try to get as close to her as we can, but we can't reach her. We huddle together. The red light keeps us warm, but it's not Mama. Day 3, and it happens. They come. They grab my brother first, and I hear him scream. 4 times he screams, loud and sharp. I'm afraid. I try to hide. We all do. But there's nowhere to go. Then the cutter grabs me and it happens. A loud noise and my ear is on fire. I scream. Something cold in my mouth and I hear a crunch. My teeth are shorter. I scream around the cold thing. Then I'm upside down and I feel my tail break. I scream. Then the worst pain I've ever felt. Something between my legs is ripped from me. I scream until my voice breaks. 2 weeks later and Mama's gone. Our food is hard and dry. No more milk. No more singing. No more Mama. I'm 6 months old. I feel older. I'm tired and hot. My body aches and I'm dirty. We all are. The cutters come and it's time. Suddenly, light. And they're pushing us towards it, pushing and kicking, screaming and hitting. We're moving as fast as we can. And then we stop. Because there's nowhere to go. We're tighter together than ever before, and it's so hot. Soon we're panting, all of us panting. We can't get away from each other. It's so hot. And then we're moving, finally some air, but it's not enough. I try to get closer to the air, but there are too many of us, all of us trying. I think of my Mama again, all of us trying to get to her milk, but there's no singing here. Only panting and groans. and cries, and it gets hotter. It's nighttime. The sun is gone and we can breathe more slowly. I'm thirsty. We all are. We're looking for water or food, but there's nothing. I've made it to the edge and try to smell for any hint of water, just a drop, something. We're dying. It's light again. I'm so tired, too hot to sleep, and it's getting hotter. All I hear is breathing. But some of my brothers and sisters aren't breathing. Not anymore. We start moving again, and I feel we've been in here for days. Skin upon skin, we're so hot it burns when we touch. We're all trying to get away from each other, but there's nowhere to go. We're stopping again, stopping and starting. When we're still, it's the worst, the heat. I can barely breathe. All I think of is water. I can smell it, taste it, see it, feel it, like it's right there pouring through the tiny openings that only deliver stale air. But this time it feels so real. I can almost believe it. Then I hear them. Cutters outside, cutters looking in, cutters with water. Finally, water. Is it real? They're pouring in water and we're trying to reach them, most of us. Some aren't moving at all. I open my mouth and it's cold and it's real. It's the most incredible thing I've ever tasted. And these cutters aren't screaming or kicking or hitting. They're almost singing like Mama, low and soft and kind. One reaches in and pets my head, the only time I've been touched and not hurt. And then we're moving, but not for long. We stop, and then bright light and air, finally air. The loud cutters are back with their kicking and hitting, and something new, something that shocks, sharp pain. And I wonder what's next. I'm caught. I can't move. Even more than before. There's nowhere to go. Just a few of us in here, but no room. And then the burning. Something's wrong. Something's always been wrong. We're moving and it burns. Everything burns. My eyes, my mouth, inside. I'm burning inside. I'm thrashing and trying to escape. We all are. And now I'm upside down. We're all upside down. But I'm still moving. Why am I moving? And then I see them. More cutters. I'm moving and can't stop. Then it comes, the last cut I feel, sharp and deep and hot. And I'm bleeding, everywhere I'm bleeding. And then water. I hear water, finally water. And then it happens. I'm dropped into the water and it's fire. It's boiling and red with blood. I'm on fire, I can't breathe. I think of the cold water and the cutters who sang like Mama. And I take my last drink. This pig's story is not an isolated incident. To see his story in real-life footage, from the mutilation of baby pigs to their transport without food or water to the gas chamber and scalding baths, please see the blog post for this video linked here and below, as well as the videos linked here. This is not just happening in some faraway land. Please share this video far and wide and like it to help give a voice to the over 1 billion pigs killed every year. And subscribe for more vegan content every Monday, Wednesday, and some Fridays. To support message.
Okay, that story was called 36 Hours Without Water, and we will talk about why that title in just a bit. I didn't listen to it this time, or else I wouldn't be able to go on doing the show. I've already heard it a couple times, and I watched it. That was created by Emily Barwick, and I believe that we have her on the phone with us now. Hello, Emily, are you with us?
I am. Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much for being on Animal Sounds today. So, Emily, you are an activist, I'd say multimedia artist, educator, writer, speaker, animal lover, and more. And Bite Size Vegan is actually your website that you work on full-time to educate others. Is that correct?
Yes, that is. It's what I do, and it's pretty amazing to me that I get to like live out my passion every day.
Absolutely. Do you want to give the listener a little background about what Bite Size Vegan is?
Yeah, sure. So I started Bite Size Vegan out of a desire to provide kind of quick, digestible, relatable information for people about veganism, because if you're like me and just in general, if you Google veganism, it's overwhelming and it's easy to get overwhelmed by all the information and not know what to do. And there's also a lot of conflicting, contradictory stuff out there. So I wanted to create kind of a growing library of free content for people where I take, you know, sometimes with my really educational videos, I'll take really complex issues and I try to condense them down to something that's palatable and digestible and entertaining, because these days, like, people want to watch TV, they don't want to read, you know, and we don't really have the time to do that. So I take the time to do it and provide citations and everything. And while some of the videos have gotten longer as I've gone along, I am still my focus is still trying to make things approachable for people who might not know anything about veganism. And then the secondary part of it that kind of evolved was, not only am I trying to reach non-vegans about veganism, but now I've found that I'm also being able to give vegans the words they need to speak to other non-vegans about veganism. So there's kind of like a two-prong purpose of Bite Size Vegan, which kind of evolved unknowingly to me. But that's kind of what I'm hoping to do. And I do it through a variety of means. There's, you know, videos that are very research-based and academic. There's ones like this that are very artistic and poetic. There's emotional ones. There's funny ones, because the message is going to connect. People are going to connect to the message in different ways, depending on, you know, their background or where they are at. So I try to provide, you know, an array of content, even kids' videos.
Right, that's true. And I mean, you do it so well. This was an amazing video. I mean, I could watch it or listen to it, you know, over and over again. Very powerful. Like I said, I couldn't listen to it again today, or else I don't think I'd be able to go on with the show. But yeah, thank you for creating that. So could you please tell us where you got the title from, 36 Hours Without Water?
Absolutely. So in Canada, which I went to, Toronto Pig Save is an organization in Toronto, Canada. And what they do is they hold these, they call them vigils, where you're bearing witness. So they go outside of slaughterhouses and they bear witness to the animals that are going into these slaughterhouses. You know, pigs, we go to the cow one, chickens. And the pigs, we usually try to give water to them, especially in the summer when they're traveling. Because in Canada, pigs are allowed to travel for 36 hours without food, without water, without, you know, being let out of the trucks or anything. They have no protection from the heat, no protection from the cold in the winter, so they're frostbitten. In the summer, they're dying of dehydration, they're panting, they're frothing at the mouth. So that's what 36 hours without water means, is that that's how long they go. And in Canada, cows can actually go 48 hours without water or food or anything for transport. So, I mean, it's pretty horrific to think about. You know, these are their last moments before they're, you know, brutally killed, you know, in this drawn-out transport where they're completely exposed to the elements. They have no, you know, way to sustain themselves. And so it's just this horrifying experience. And I wanted to try to capture that through the eyes of a pig, you know, because it's, in our society, it's interesting. If someone has a face and a name, we care about them. So everyone roots for Babe in the movie. Everyone roots for Nemo and Finding Nemo. And then they go home and they eat their bacon and they eat their fish. So with the Draw My Life videos, what I'm hoping to do is give these animals a story and help people identify with them from their perspective.
Absolutely. And so this story begins on day 3 of the piglet's life. Is that correct?
Yes, basically, yeah. I mean, I think it starts...
Or on the day they...
But the first thing...
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. On the day they were born. And so that's basically when, you know, our mutilation of the piglets begins. And they're already being slaughtered at 6 months old, so I guess that speaks to how they've been bred to grow so quick and fast.
Absolutely.
And large.
Yeah. I mean, all of the animals that we eat mm-hmm. are babies. You know, all the animals we kill are babies. The only ones that aren't are the ones, like the mothers of the dairy, the mothers in dairy. I mean, they're still very young. They're around 4 or 5 when their bodies give out, when cows can live 20, 25 years. Mm-hmm. But the animals that we slaughter for meat are all babies. We just breed them to grow so fast. Chickens we're slaughtering, you know, when they're 40, 42 days old. And pigs, you know, I've been to you know, Sasha Farm Animal Sanctuary, there's a pig there named Wilbur who's like 1,000-something pounds. So when these pigs do escape slaughter, they grow to these astronomical sizes because of the way that we've bred them. But what we're doing is we're making them grow so fast, and we're still killing them when they're babies. And the, like you said, the mutilation, the violation, it starts from day one.
Right. So let's talk about that a little bit. Because the little piglet in the video, he hears his brother get taken away, and his brother starts to scream. So what is happening to his brother? There's like kind of four areas of things that we do to the little piglets.
Yeah, so it's called, they call it processing a litter. It's another one of those nice euphemisms that the industry will use. What they'll do is they notch the ears of piglets, and that this is basically they cut parts of their ears off, and all of this is completely without anesthetic. So they cut parts of their ears off so they can identify the litter. Each litter is going to have different notches.
Oh.
Some of the notches will denote what litter it is. Another notch will denote the number of the piglet within the litter. So each farm has a different notching system.
Interesting.
So that's one thing they do for identifying them. Then they cut their teeth off. So they cut a lot of their teeth down to the gum. Again, no anesthetic. This is to help stop them from biting one another. And I'll get to that in a second. They cut their tails off. Again, no anesthetic. They do that so they're not going to be chewing on each other's tails. And then they will castrate them. All the males will be castrated without anesthetic. They just cut the scrotum. They pull the testicles out. The reason they do that is because if a male pig is allowed to mature with his testicles intact, it taints the taste of the meat. So the
wow.
meat doesn't taste as good if, you know, he has his testicles.
Now, so, is that a fact, or is that just something that they say so they can get away with doing it, or?
I don't know. I've never eaten
right.
eaten it, but I think that the hormones do mm-hmm. affect the taste of the meat. So apparently that's enough reason to pull someone's testicles out. They
yeah.
do this to cows, too, in the meat industry. But the reason that they're, and this is the most astounding part, is that the reason that they're cutting off their teeth and cutting off their tails, you know, they say, oh, well, if we don't do this, they're going to fight and they're going to bite each other and they're going to injure each other. So we're doing this to protect these animals and we're doing this for their welfare. Well, the reason that they're biting each other's tails and chewing on the bars until they're, you know, have blood coming out of their mouth is because they're in these unnatural, cramped conditions, and they're being driven insane.
Right.
So if the animals, if these pigs were out, you know, outside, they wouldn't be doing this. It's the same with gestation crates. The industry defends putting mother pigs in these crates where they can't even move because they say, oh, well, if we don't put them in the crates, they'll roll over and they'll kill their babies. So we're really doing it to protect them. And it's like, well, again, if they were outside in nature, they wouldn't be so cramped that if they rolled over, they would kill their babies. They would have room to move around. So it's humans, it's one of our favorite things to do, is to be the saviors that come and fix these problems that we have created, you know, and then we act like the animals need us to do this when if we hadn't interfered, we wouldn't have to fix the problems.
Absolutely. And I do urge everyone to actually watch the video. If you heard it today, that's one thing, but go watch it and you'll have a better understanding of some of the parts of the video. So there is a part in the video where the pigs are on the transport truck and they're thinking they're going to get some water, and it actually is water, and they refer to cutters who are singing softly to them, giving them water. And really what I just got from it is that at that point, that's they're obviously referring to humans, but they're referring to all humans as cutters because all they've known so far in their life are humans who have abused them. So, and that's actually people who are giving pigs drinks of water through like the little holes in the transport trucks, right?
Yes, absolutely. So that's like the Toronto Pig Save activists. And there's activists like this, you know, all over the world now. There's save groups that do this. And so, yeah, so the pigs, all they know is, you know, that humans have been there to hurt. And I have two other Draw My Life videos so far, and in the one about the cow, the humans are called takers because they
mm-hmm.
come and they take the baby as soon as he's born. So it's like, you know, the animals are identifying the humans for all that they know. But the interesting thing, which is kind of, and I think I put the video right after this one, Anita Kreintz, who founded Toronto Pig Save, is currently facing jail time and a fine for giving water to pigs. She
mm-hmm.
was originally facing 10 years in prison. And it's launched this entire campaign of Compassion is Not a Crime, where you know, all of the brutal things that we do to animals in the industry is legal and protected. But here's this woman who's trying to give them water and trying to give them a moment of compassion in their final hours, and she's being, you know, prosecuted. It's just very bizarre.
Sure, absolutely, and I will stay updated with that. I know she has, I actually just heard her on the radio this morning on a different animal show, but I know it's August, I think, is when she has to go to court for that, so I will keep everyone updated. So once the pigs are off the transport truck, so what's happening when they say that they feel burning?
So this is probably one of the most horrifying things, and I would really encourage people to watch a video I just put out, and I'll be honest, it's a difficult video to watch, but it's really vital. It's called The Nicest Way to Die, and what that does is it details exactly what this pig is describing. So even on the blog post for the 36 hours, I have videos to everything that I describe, like actual videos to footage of everything that the pig goes through if anyone doubts that these things happen. But the burning alive is heartbreaking. What it is it's actually the method used in all of the major slaughterhouses around the world now. This is touted as the most humane method of stunning and slaughtering pigs. And what it is it's a CO2 chamber. So they load the pigs into these really medieval-looking cages that then kind of lower almost on this, like, giant rotisserie-looking machine, and they lower into these pits, and the CO2 gas hits the pigs. And as soon as it does, what activists found, because this footage was recovered by activists in Australia, Animal Liberation Victoria and Animal Liberation New South Wales, they went in and they hid cameras. And even the activists going in, their eyes started to burn because the carbon dioxide starts to react with any kind of liquid or, you know, mucous membranes, and it forms acid. So these pigs are this type of stunning is supposed to be, oh, well, they just go to sleep. But you watch the footage. It is brutal. So they are literally, from their first breath, they start burning from the inside out, and it's a drawn-out and horrifying death. And this is supposed to be the most humane method that we have.
Right. And I did watch the video, The Nicest Way to Die, and I mean, you couldn't explain it as anything other than medieval. I mean, it's insane what the pigs go through, and I would definitely encourage everyone, whether you eat meat or not, to watch the video.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of, you know, horrible things in the time that I've, you know, been an activist, and I'm still, you know, surprised by the level of depravity that our species can, you know, pull out. It's really astounding. Like, if you watch this, it looks like someone created this for a horror movie.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't seem like it could be real. And from the outside, when we're on the outside of these buildings, they just look like, you know, industrial complexes. You would have no idea the kind of horrors that are happening on the inside. And the activists who, when they released this footage, they did it actually on, they had an action where a number of them went into the gas chambers and chained themselves. And they shut down the slaughterhouse for about 4 hours or so before the cops pulled them out. But activists on the outside were playing the sounds of the pigs on the inside. And they even have footage, and I'll be doing a video on this hopefully next month, about their action. They have footage of, like, there was one cop that broke down and started crying and had to walk away because I'm sure she was, like, realizing, like, this is what I'm trying to protect. I'm here to protect the people who are doing this to these animals.
No, the screams
they have
from
footage of her breaking away.
The screams from the pigs, I mean, you'll never hear anything like it in your life. So.
Yeah, it's
and
hard.
So from the CO2 chamber, what happens after that?
Well, from there they go, they're dumped, you know, and into this other room where they're strung up and they're bled. The activists there, they didn't capture any of this happening, but I know with captive bolt stunning this happens, and with CO2, you know, some of the times the stunning methods that we have don't work, and pigs will wake up, and they will be conscious when they're being bled. You know, and this is very, very common in a lot of slaughterhouses. Like, when I was up in Toronto, one of the cow slaughterhouses is called Riding Regency, and it's a kosher halal slaughter. And for kosher halal, the animals have to be conscious. That's
mm-hmm.
the way, that's the way it's dictated. They have to be alive and completely conscious when they're slaughtered. And what happens there is, like, the first, when they start, and this, I only know this because Anita Kreins has, you know, gotten to know some of the workers, and they'll tell her what's happening inside. In the mornings, it's the worst for the cows that are first, because
mm-hmm.
they are supposed to just kind of go as fast as they can, which is what happens in most slaughterhouses, because profit is king. And what will happen is they won't give the cows time to bleed out, and so the skinner, the person who's there to take the skin off of the animals, will start to pull the skin off of their faces before they're even like dead. They're still alive, and they're already being dismembered and cut apart.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not uncommon.
Right.
And that's the funny thing that people say about when they see undercover footage, is they say, oh, well, it's not like that here. I had someone comment on the Nicest Way to Die video and say, well, I live in Australia, and it's not like that. And I was like, this footage is from Australia.
Right. No, I mean, a lot of people in America think that we have a different way of treating animals here, which is the complete opposite.
Yeah, and everyone in every other country says it's only like that in America.
Right, and people just like to blame, you know, like, here everyone gets mad, you know, about how they eat dogs in China, but I'm like, well,
mm-hmm.
we do just as bad things here, if not worse. So everyone, it's everywhere.
Exactly, yeah, and I mean, pigs are so similar to dogs, you know, it's pretty interesting. I mean, they play the same. They're very curious. They're incredibly intelligent. Although I never like to use the intelligent argument for someone's worth, because I don't think that, you know, I don't think intelligence denotes worth. But it is important to know that they're very intelligent and they're very aware, and just imagining what it would be like to be. I mean, pigs have the intelligence of, you know, 3-year-old human children. They've surpassed 3-year-olds on some tests. Just imagine a 3-year-old child being in one of those cages and being lowered. I mean, it's horrifying to think about that.
No, absolutely. And unfortunately, we are pretty much out of time. Emily, thank you so much for educating us today.